This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
I'm Rachel Hampton.
And I'm Madison Malone Kircher. You're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture. Rachel, it is time, as they say, for some personal news.
I'm sorry, I can't hear all of a sudden. I've lost the ability to understand. I'm illiterate.
That's reading.
Sorry, what are you saying? You're going through a tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Well, while I'm in the tunnel, let me shout loudly and say that today is my last day hosting ICYMI.
The day I've been avoiding mentally for the last undisclosed amount of time is finally here, and I'm weeping. I'm crying. There are tears rolling
down my
face.
There's literally no tears. Just for those of you listening at home, truth in journalism, accuracy in journalism. Rachel's not crying.
Yet.
Okay, but we do have to get through this episode. And infamously, the only thing that has made me cry on this show is Sesame Street. But there is a first time for everything.
I'm sorry. Thanks for the memories. It's just playing in my head right now.
I've actually been thinking a lot about what farewell show tune I should perform in full, all out, like full belt. And believe me, I've had some good ideas because this is, in fact, the last midnight. You saw Into the Woods last night.
I just thought this would land. I just saw that. I was like, wait, I get that one.
Wave your little hand and whisper so long, dearie.
Wow. It's finally like the Captain America meme of, I got that one. It only took 16 months, but I got that one.
I also considered the goodbye song from Smash, which if you know, you know. Goodbye from Catch Me If You Can, a little on the nose. Goodbye Until Tomorrow from The Last 5 Years. I know you know that one.
Oh, I do know that one. I would play I'm Still Hurting from The Last 5 Years because Madison has decided it's her right to decide.
I have decided. So long, farewell, What I Did for Love, You Can Cry for Me, Argentina. Okay, I'm done now. Unless you want to perform a duet of For Good from Wicked. Too much?
Okay, I would actually cry. I'm like a skybird. What the fuck is a skybird?
Literally any bird of flight. Not a penguin. A penguin is not a skybird.
Or an emu. Or cassowary. I'm so upset.
Wow, you really do love me after all. But yes, what Rachel and I have said is true. My time at In Case You Missed It is coming to an end with this episode. And what a ride it has been.
Roller coaster, baby.
We did not keep our hands and feet inside the vehicle until it came to a complete stop.
Oh, we have fully tumbled out of the roller coaster car, plunged down into the bottom, and somehow survived.
Over the last, I tried to count, I think it's like 137 episodes. We have left no corner of the internet unturned.
Okay, we have, because the show has to keep going, so there are some corners left unturned. Please
That's
continue
true.
To listen there, to the
there
show.
There are an infinite number of corners. We have left no weird thing undiscussed that definitely would have made our mothers cringe.
I did find out recently my mom does listen to the show.
Wow.
I know.
I'm so glad you told me this on my final show.
Yeah, I told her you were leaving and she was like, "Aw, y'all had such good chemistry."
In that one episode she watched the first week the show launched. Just kidding. I love your mom. So since this is my swan song, I thought it only would be right that we play my favorite game one last time.
I'm pouring out a drink. Empty chairs and empty tables.
That's right, Rachel.
My friends are gone.
I'm supposed to say my friends, forgive me. What I'm saying, Rachel, is it is time for my last and certainly not your last game of High Speed Downloads.
This might be my last installment because I might perish after this. Who knows? They say you can die of a broken heart.
We're going to take a quick break to confirm what a skybird is. And when we get back, be ready for the classic fast-talking bits you know and love or maybe hate, but don't tell us if you hate them.
All that coming up next.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Trust me, you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy as is genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
All right, we are back with High Speed Downloads.
So High Speed Downloads, in case you're new, are a game where Rachel and I have 60 seconds on the clock to explain to each other a piece of internet ephemera du jour, a meme, a video, some celebrity doing something dumb, and we talk as fast as humanly possible. If you don't like listening to two women talk really quickly,
shut the fuck up and go away.
Yes. Or consider putting your podcast playback speed on a slightly slower number.
Yeah. Don't do 0.5x speed because then we sound drunk, which we're not at that point of being sad, but that will come later.
Rachel, I make the rules today.
Yeah, sure. Go
for it. So you get to go first.
I was wondering if you wanted to go first or second. This is the right choice. All right. For your last day, I'm going to torture you because I have pitched this idea multiple times over the past 16 months and every single time have been met with polite, distant silence. So now I'm going to make you listen to this right now. That's right. I'm going to be explaining the infamous fan fiction, My Immortal. Does this surprise you?
Is that related to the Evanescence song?
Yes.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Philosophically, spiritually, emotionally, yes.
Okay. You have 60 seconds on the clock. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, My Immortal is a famous fanfic written by a still unknown author. That is really important. If you have ever spent any time on the internet like I have, you will recognize the first 5 words of this fucking fic. It's, hi, my name is Ebony Darkness, the mentioned Raven Way, and I have long ebony black hair, and that's how she got her fucking name. It only gets worse from there, or better, depending on how you feel grammatical mistakes. It's a Harry Potter fanfic, but like very loosely, in that she doesn't give a shit about canon or spelling anything right. She spells Voldemort repeatedly. It broadly follows Ebony, who is a vampire, really relationship with Draco Malfoy and her eventual time travel to defeat Voldemort. I have never read this, so please do not come for me if I summarize this inaccurately. It's actually impossible to summarize accurately. The thing about this fanfic is that it's the worst thing about fanfic, and that it's self-insert riddled with defensive author's notes and like a disregard for plot, which means that it's become a meme in and of itself. It has dramatic readings, ironic merch, fan art. Also, people still don't know who the author is. People have stepped forward who are not actually the author, like when Anastasia died, and people were like, I'm Anastasia. People are like, I wrote My Immortal.
Heart, don't fail me now. I wrote My Immortal.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You're going to miss me. That was really good.
Thanks. I'm glad I got the Anastasia reference in there.
Yeah, that was really, really critical. So as part of the bylaws of the High Speed Downloads, although you can change the bylaws when I leave.
Stop.
You do get to finish with one final thought. So what more do I need to know about My Immortal?
The funniest thing about My Immortal is that there is a rift in the community that knows of it about whether or not it is satire or real.
Okay.
A lot of people think that it's a giant hoax. Other people think that it's 100% real because they have read other people's fan fiction. And the false pretenders to the throne of My Immortal have not really been convincing. So it's still a giant mystery, which on the internet in 2022 is impressive.
I look forward to the full episode you're going to do on this.
I mean, honestly, at this point, I don't know if I can say Ebony Darkness Dimension Raven Away again.
Sorry, one more time slower.
Ebony Darkness Dimension Raven Way. She's not related to Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance, but she wishes he was because he's a total hottie.
Sorry, is that a bit or is that canon?
No, that's literally the second sentence in the fan fiction.
Okay. Rachel, that was really fun. Thank you. I'm glad we decided to make these surprises.
I'm so glad you knew nothing about that going in. All right, Madison. Actually, we're not continuing because if you don't do this, then you can't leave. That's how that works, right?
I think our union contract says otherwise.
Oh, yeah. We love unions, one you. Okay, what you got for me?
So, I was going to tell you about some lesbian TikTok drama, but ooh, then I thought, I have a better idea.
Oh.
So today, my high-speed download is a 60-second summary of every episode of ICYMI we have ever made.
Madison, we've made 137 episodes.
And I am going to go out breathlessly reaching for an inhaler as I came into this world.
Oh my God. Okay. You get 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Joking.
All right.
I don't know if you can talk that fast for 5 minutes without having an aneurysm.
Actually perishing. Yeah.
All right. You have 1 minute on the clock. Are you ready?
No.
Okay, great. 3, 2, 1. Go.
David Dobrik. My God, man, remember Clubhouse Cinnamon Toast Shrimp? Lil Nas X times like 1,000. Nobody is better at the internet. Okay, Lizzo is good, too. It's about damn time. Stop stealing dances from black creators. Something about the Bachelor, but mostly just Rachel talking at me about them. There are lots of women named Rachel on the show. No more Rachels on the pod. Piss talk, bus talk, book talk, life hack talk, ex-Mormon talk, true crime talk, Depp Heard talk, bone talk, rush talk, jewelry, normal, salmon rice, we went to the moon in 1969. Do writers not care about my kidney? LuLaRoe leggings, mukbangs, milk crates. Where is Kony 2012? Don't make me laugh. I've been trying all night. Real nice fucking tits. Cue the Genovian national anthem. Go read All the Young Dudes by Taylor Swift and then read it to Leah Michelle because she can't. Don't worry, the pug with no bones is still alive. I checked Chrissy Teigen. No, the entire show was one big Streisand effect. Welcome to the Valley of Nuance. We do talk about Bruno. We do not eat that much liver. Sorry to this king. Go watch Yellow Jackets and Abbott Elementary. Delete your period tracker. Probably also throw your phone into the sea. Am I the asshole? Sorry about the water slurping. Free Palestine. Free Britney. Then leave her alone. Leave Couch Guy alone too.
What's up,
Caleb? Also, we are tramping through the bush. Shrek is
dead. Sorry, crazy.
We do not eat the lentil crumbles. Banana. Yes, my dad. Sure. And yes, Virginia. Those Mormon moms were swinging. Dyke culture is everywhere. Molly the American Girl is a dyke. She butter jorts. Womblands. Everything's an ad. Go to your school board elections and the paper towel roll!
Oh my God! I think this is the first time I've actually heard the asthmatic wheeze come out, so I know how hard that was. Madison, you brought up things I forgot about. Does no one care about my kidney? Wow.
I have nothing more to say.
Well, not quite. Because after a short break, I'm going to interview you and ask you all the burning questions that you have somehow not answered over the 137 episodes that you just so accurately summarized.
I'm going to take this break to double check that count because I sort of fudged the math. We'll be back in just a minute.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hi, y'all. If you are a new listener to the show, then you really came in on an interesting day. But in case you missed it, we do make that joke every week. We come out twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Our Wednesday episode does include Madison, and it was a mailbag episode all about a frog army, pheromones, and something called Yassified Ed Sheeran. Yes, we swear we will make that make sense. You should check it out. And we're back with none other than Madison Malone Kircher, who has taken a break to catch her breath. She's still abandoning me.
It's an honor just to be nominated.
How dare you? After everything we've been through, the ups, the downs, the tears, the things I can't pronounce.
It's fine. Just have Daniel play you like 20% more show tunes during any given day. And it's basically like I'm here.
Okay, well, so we're not going to spend the rest of this episode going over Madison's highlights, mostly because, honestly, we could be here for 2 hours doing that. Instead, we're going to ask her, and by we, I mean me, I'm going to ask her some questions that we somehow haven't managed to get to in the past 16 months. So, Madison, are you ready?
Aye, aye, Captain.
All right, first question, and this one is extremely obvious coming from me. Have you ever read fan fiction?
Okay, here's the thing. I have almost certainly lied about it in a job interview, but the answer's no.
Really?
I perused All the Young Dudes when we did our show about Ms. King Bean 89, because I am nothing if not a consummate professional, aka good bullshit artist. But no, I never read fan fiction. And I say I probably have lied about this because I am certain at some point in my life while like interviewing for a job or talking to somebody else on the beat, I have like nodded and yes anded a conversation about fan fiction and its importance on the internet, which I fully understand and recognize. But no, Rachel, I've never read fanfic.
Oh my God. This is actually surprising. I thought I was just going to find out about the pairings that you ship, but to find out that you just have never read a single word of fan fiction besides All the Young Dudes, which great choice. And by choice, I mean, I love to have foresight on you. That is absolutely wild. I know you're not like ideologically opposed, but what kept you from engaging?
I think I just missed it.
Fascinating. I mean, you weren't really on Tumblr, which is definitely where I encountered my first like sprinklings of fanfic. So,
and I should have been, because like I think about the people I would have shipped, and the first thing that immediately comes to my mind is Grey's Anatomy, Arizona, and Callie. And I was watching Calzona Supercuts on YouTube, like just desperate for a version of the show that was only about the queer women. But somehow my brain never made the leap to like, hey, Archive of Our Own is right over there, honey.
Madison, you didn't even have to want for a world where the show was just about them. That exists somewhere on AO3 right now.
Look, as my dad says, it's never too late to have a happy childhood. So maybe I'll saunter on over there now.
If you do, just make sure you filter by kudos, which means by the most liked. So you will get the best fan fiction instead of what's most recent, which is really kind of a mixed bag. Okay, well, I've learned a lot, and that was the first question. Second question. As we all know, and by as we all know, I mean I know because I love it, one of the big things on the internet that everybody loves is scams. Have you ever been a scammer? Have you ever scammed anybody?
Well, I accidentally maybe committed internet fraud.
Can you talk about it?
Have I told this story?
I know this story, but I don't know if you've told this story on the show. You
well, guess what? I'm leaving, so I get to tell it again.
I know you talked about being a Neopet scammer.
Oh, yeah. But that was very low grade. That was truly just my friends were not terribly bright. Not really a scam so much as I just needed smarter school children around me.
Okay, so what was the actual internet fraud you committed? And is it legal for you to be discussing this on air right now?
I think so. I don't believe that the bleep tutoring website that I scammed will come after me at this point. It's been 16 years, 15. It's been over a decade and a half. When I was in high school, I took physics, not to brag, and I was extremely bad at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this really just Machiavellian and lazy teacher who put all of our homework online. And the way the online homework system worked was every time you got a question wrong, you lost points. So you could get a negative homework score. So I was getting like negative 40s on my homework. And I was a nerd. This was not going to do great things for my report card.
Oh my God. Okay, that also feels like a terrible system. Like, if you get it wrong, you shouldn't lose points every single time. You should get help.
Yep. Well, that's what I tried to do. I discovered a tutoring website that I will not name that gave you a free trial, 1 hour of one-on-one. It wasn't video tutoring, but it had a screen where you would do co-working through the problems together and you would type in a chat box. It was really, really great. Wouldn't you believe? Mm-hmm. I did that first hour. I think I got 100 on that homework. And I actually think I learned something.
Wow. Okay, so where's the scam come in?
The scam comes in because instead of saying, hi, mom, hi, dad, I'm really having a hard time with physics. I might need a tutor, whether it's online or in person. Can we talk about it? My dumb brain. Or genius brain, realized you could register any email and any cell phone number. And as long as you got the two-factor code from the cell phone number, you got another hour of tutoring.
Oh my God. This is like when you used to be able to just register individual Grubhub emails to get like an extra $20 off your first order.
The good old days. So I did this a lot. Truly, Rachel, if we'd been friends in high school, I would have texted you at like 11:30 on a Tuesday night and been like, you're about to get a text. Just tell me what it says. Don't ask questions.
Your friends trusted you so much. You sold them shit and then you also gave away their fucking phone numbers.
I did. I really did. Shout out actually to the nameless friends and classmates I no longer remember who I do recall saying, I'm not going to do this, Madison. That's weird. You guys were set up for success. You will not be scammed.
So I'm guessing this isn't technically legal.
The week before my 16th birthday, I received a very scary letter in the mail from that tutoring website. asking me to cut it out. And also, they were mostly concerned, at least my understanding of it, is this was the point where I escalated it to my parents, who were, you know, less than thrilled, but love you guys. They were more concerned that I had taught other school children how to defraud them, which honestly, can we even call it fraud?
No, it just seems like a hole in the system. They should be tracing it to ISP addresses, not to phone numbers.
Right. I mean, there should really be bug bounty, white hat. Like, I'm a good guy here.
Yeah. No, you were exposing a bug in their system, and they should be they pay people for this.
At any rate, cleared that up, and I've been on the internet straight and narrow ever since.
Wow. That is an incredible scam, and also just the fact that it emerged not from a desire to make money, not from a desire for, like, shiny new clothes, not from a desire to get a new phone or a car, but to get help on your fucking physics homework? You goddamn nerd!
I think that's the best argument as to why it was not, in fact, a scam.
I mean, you know, what a girl does to get help on her physics homework is just... that's just hard work.
I nailed that final.
Well, now that we have perhaps set you up in some way for legal liability, on to an actually hard question. All day, every day, twice a week, 52 weeks a year, we shit on platforms on this podcast and just talk about all the ways that they're fucking up. I feel like we try to offer solutions, but I'm really going to toss this ball into your court and say, what do you think platforms like TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, what have you, should actually be investing in to make them safe and sustainable and not
as bad?
The democracy.
Yeah. This is easy, actually, and this is a hill I will die on and have talked about many, many times, but I love an opportunity to bring it back up. Okay. Blue check marks are dumb. The fact that you and I are special and verified on certain platforms and other people are not is silly. Because what these platforms should actually be doing is verifying everyone. They should be confirming ages and identities and making you be who you are online. It would create a safer system for a lot of people in a real big hurry. But platforms don't want to talk about that.
That's fascinating because one of the kind of underpinnings of the internet is the ability to be anonymous. And a lot of people really find safety in that. Obviously, bad people find safety in that. But there are a lot of people who think or feel like having the ability to be anonymous on the internet allows them to have a presence when otherwise, like, I don't know, their workplace might censor what they're saying.
I think that's true, but I do think on a macro level, the safety and well-being of the majority of people online would be improved pretty rapidly if everyone they were interacting with on a certain platform had to be who they actually are. I'm operating on the assumption that, as every internet platform has always had, there would be workarounds. If you want to be the anonymous gay kid on Tumblr, like, you'll find a way. I am open to workarounds. I am open to flexibility here. But I think having been impersonated online a couple of times, having discovered my own face being used on a Twitter account to sell nudes of what appeared to be underage women, and being told by the automated systems on a Twitter or an Instagram, sorry, we can't do anything, and only being able to get those accounts taken down when I went through back channel because I have the privilege of having access to people to back channel with by the nature of my job. The systems aren't working.
Yeah, very, very clearly. I mean, I thought your worst impersonation was the fake Mormon.
It was the nudes.
Yeah, the nudes do seem bad.
You would not believe how many pictures of my alleged boobs were on the internet at one point.
I know this isn't the moral of this story, but I've never been impersonated on the internet, and now I'm wondering what's wrong with me. Are my alleged boobs not pretty enough? What's going on here?
Oh, God.
Moving on from my clear desire to be liked, what was your favorite episode of this show that we have made?
That's hard because we've made so many. You know, when we started out on the show, I had a Google Doc where I would very diligently, like, track what we'd done and what was good and what could be better and what I had contributed and if I liked it. And that that document trails off after about 3 months of shows.
Oh, I was going to say 3 weeks. How did you manage to do that? The thing about this show that I feel like we don't ever talk about on the show is that It's honestly really hard. This is actually a very hard thing to make. Making two shows every single week about something that is interesting on the internet is harder than it looks, and also making it sound good in 25 to 30 minutes. Like, I don't know about you, but we kind of did that shit.
I mean, I think the ones that come immediately to mind are, I loved our episode, this is dark, I loved our episode about Gabby Petito, where we talked to a TikToker who had become a million plus follower TikTok account basically overnight as a result of posting about Gabby Petito's disappearance and now confirmed murder. Just a fascinating conversation.
I think we were one of the first major outlets to say that the Gabby Petito hullabaloo was not in fact empowering feminism and was in fact deeply toxic.
Yeah. And I mean, my favorite episodes are the ones where we talk to people, you know, like I loved when we talked to Jonathan Graziano, the guy who owns Noodle, the pug with no bones, who I check in on not so infrequently to make sure Noodle is still kicking. But the thing that I loved about that interview was Noodle was in the room. Noodle was on his lap. We were like, could Noodle be here? Could Noodle sniffle into the microphone? Thank you.
We've talked to some incredible people on this show.
Never forget the time we got BYU Virginity Club's admin on the phone, and that guy showed up with his own voice modulator like he was deep throat trying to hide state secrets.
Just chef's kiss.
I have enjoyed talking to people, but also I feel like we did an episode very early on about body positivity and how it's become meaningless. That I think something people didn't necessarily know in listening to us on this show, unless we revealed it, is that we didn't know each other.
Mm-mm.
We met approximately a year and a half ago.
Oh, yeah. We don't talk about this on the show at all. We did not know each other before this show started.
And now we will never know each other again.
And now I will pretend that I've never heard of a woman named Mattis Malone Kircher or that I know a lot of her deep, dark secrets.
That's true. But I felt like I bared a few of them, as did you, on that body positivity episode. And I was really proud of that show.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the way that we both showed up and were willing to be honest with each other. That it wasn't a case of, I'm going to let you go out on this limb by yourself. It was like, all right, we're doing this.
Yeah. In the interest of honesty, Rachel, there is something I have not said to you in a year and a half. And I feel this is the moment. So you often talk about your favorite recording of The Hunchback of Notre Dame. It's the La Jolla Playhouse.
No, is it really? For years, I have been saying La Jolla Playhouse, and it is, it's what? La Jolla?
Yeah.
That should not be pronounced like that. Well, every day, I learn something new from you. I'm just going to stop learning after you leave.
I'm really sorry, but we're among friends here, you, me, and the ICYMI guys, and I couldn't leave you in the world.
Just walking out, blissfully saying, oh yeah, my favorite, the La Jolla Playhouse. Well, you know, if you do enjoy musicals, the La Jolla Playhouse version of The Hunchback of Notre Dame is simply immaculate.
That part's true. And that's why I knew we needed to have this conversation, because I know you're going to continue recommending it to people.
100%. I will never stop. Okay, so next up, what meme do you reference most in your day-to-day life in what we call the meat space?
Ew. This is embarrassing, and also I feel only confirms what we discussed on our Minions episode, which is that maybe I'm slightly closer to Midwest wine mom than not. The other day was hanging out with a new friend. We went to the beach. We hadn't spent this much time together ever. And by like hour six, she was like, you know, you say we did it, Joe, a lot.
One of my best friends and former Slate producer Danielle Hewitt says we did it, Joe, like with an astonishing frequency. So I don't think I noticed that you do it.
Because it's become the way that you tack on a lol in a text. The way I use it is not sensical. It doesn't make sense as a sentence. It's truly just, what's it called? Nod crafty. If I'm sitting in front of you and I'm trying to like telegraph to you that I'm paying attention to what you're saying, so I'm nodding and smiling along. That's, we did it, Joe. That's...
It's just an acknowledgement that we're both humans together in this moment.
Yeah.
That is what We Did It Joe represents to us.
I'm alive. The Celine Dion song.
So, we actually don't talk enough about thirst on this podcast. If you had to pick somebody to thirst over loudly on the internet, as in run me over with a car right now, Who would it be?
Ultimately, I do want Taylor Swift to run me over with her car. Like, that's the answer.
I feel like that's a good choice for you. I mean, that makes sense. It tracks. Not only would you get, you know, the experience of meeting someone whose words you appreciate, but who you also find hot. No, I think that works. What song will be playing if she ran you over with a car?
Getaway Car. You're gonna have to pause.
Really? That's the song you want to die to? Wait, would you die?
No. No, I mean, like, a little death, if you know what I'm saying, but...
Oh! Le petit mot!
This podcast brought to you by nerds. Unfortunately, we've come to the point in this episode where the episode must unfortunately end. Yes, I know I said the same words 7 times in there, but this is my final clunky transition. This is my farewell. Go follow me on Twitter at @4EVRMalone. I'm not going far. I'm not leaving the internet culture beat. Hosting this podcast has been an absolute joy. I stand by that our listeners, ICYMI guys, which is a gender-neutral term, I'll die on that hill, are some of the best podcast listeners around. The emails we got, the voice notes we got, still get. Please keep sending them. I won't be here to read them, but dear God, keep sending them.
Madison, I still have to do this show without you.
But to get to read and receive that kind of feedback and engagement with our work, which wasn't always positive. Sometimes it was constructive. And more often than not, it was nuanced and smart and level-headed and just, you guys are the best people on the internet. You know how rare that is?
It was more than we ever could have hoped. And ICYMI is importantly not ending.
I will be back. Yes.
Next Wednesday. But this air of ICYMI is. And I'm not going to cry right now because I look disgusting when I cry. But Madison, I just want to say thank you.
Thank you. I'm not going to cry either because the only time I've cried on this podcast was talking about the Kennedy Center Honors Sesame Street. And we're going to keep that as the one and only time. But Rachel, it's been an honor, and it will be an even bigger honor to join the ICYMI guys on the other side. Rachel, one final question now that I've joined the fandom.
Okay.
Where can I buy merch?
All right, that is the show. I'll be back in your feed on Wednesday, so please subscribe. It is the best way to never miss an episode. We are gonna keep going. Please leave a rating and review on Apple or Spotify and tell your friends about us. It is a new ICYMI era, and I'm really excited to show y'all what we have. You can follow us on Twitter at ICYMI_pod, which is also where you can DM us your questions, like, will Madison come back? The answer is no. And you can also always drop us a note at ICYMI@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader, Rachel Hampton, and for one last time, me, Madison Malone Kircher. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Alicia Montgomery is Slate's VP of audio. See you online.
Or not.
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
Sorry, I just watched Daniel misspell my last name multiple times in the doc.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.